this is a little bit different conference, which is very good. The singing together, the being together is not peripheral to what we're doing. It is a crucial element. There is a ministry in music that can help us, open us up, help us touch the Lord, and be drawn to the Lord. That is very important among us. So I think we need to, I hope we can have more appreciation. And we're going to have more opportunity, right, later and also this evening. I think that will open new areas, like Mark said. I like to begin. We're going to have a kind of tag team. Let's see if it works. I'm going to start off for maybe 30 minutes. Then possibly one of the other, Vern is here, John is here. They're going to try to follow. Now, they may feel this is impossible. It's impossible to follow. Hand the baton back to me. That's possible. We'll see how we go here. I like to start us out. I like to refer you, if you have a Bible, if you open to Acts chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, then don't worry. I'm going to read to you from chapter 1. Not read every verse, but kind of go along. I think this can help us. And like Mark shared with us, Acts is not a textbook. It is not a manual that you can apply in that kind of way. And I think part of the reason we, at least some of us, have experienced difficulty is when we do take Acts as a kind of manual, and we draw certain hard and fast lessons from that and ways to do things, then you find out it doesn't work. It's not that easy. Rather, what we should pick up from Acts is to see how the Lord moves and how his people cooperate with him. Amen. And that may result in different things happening. I think if we can pick up that kind of way to cooperate with the Lord, then that will help us instead of having a manual, because Acts is not a manual. It's not a textbook. It is a narrative. It's a story. Yeah. Right? You like stories?
Yeah.
Most of us do. Right? We may think, oh, it's too simple. I read that. I read that when I was 10 years old. My mom read it to me. No. There are principles and lessons that we can learn. How to follow the Lord. How to cooperate with him. And what the Lord wants among us today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? That's why it's good. I have been in Acts a lot this last year or more, and I enjoy it more because why? Today, it is much more applicable to me, and probably to you, than it was. Why? Because our situation today matches more what was happening in Acts. We don't have everything figured out. Right? And they didn't have everything figured out. And they didn't know how things would unfold. And we don't either. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? And this, we found out it's not that simple. Okay, so let me just read to you. I think I know many here. If I don't, I'm Nigel. I grew up in England. Then I went to the U.S., then I married my wife. That's the best thing I ever did. In Chicago. And we moved to Canada. We're in London, Ontario, and later in Toronto, where we've been for the last 30 years in Canada. So we're from Canada. We hope you still receive us. Anytime it snows or gets really cold, you turn on TV, they say, there's an Arctic air mass coming down from Canada. You think, boy, those Canadians are at it again. My fellow Canadians here. We're not that bad. Don't blame it on us. Anyway, let's go to Acts. So, you know, we're subject to the same stuff you are. Okay, let me read through. If you can just follow along, let me pick up Acts. We're in Acts chapter 1. Let me read it to you. If you can follow along, or just listen, it's fine. Okay, let's jump in verse 3. To whom, that's the apostles, Jesus presented himself alive to his apostles after his suffering by many irrefutable proofs. He appeared to them through a period of 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. And as he met together with them, literally is as he ate salt with them, which is interesting. He charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So the ones who came together asked him, saying, "Lord, are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times and seasons which the Lord has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Verse 9, "And when he had said these things, while they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him away from their sight. And while they were looking intently into heaven, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you beheld him going into heaven.'" Verse 12, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount of called Olivet," right? Verse 13, "And when they entered, they came into the upper room where they were residing, Peter, John, the 11. These, verse 14, "These all continued steadfastly with one accord in prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." Verse 15, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the brothers and said," was a group of persons gathered together, about 120. "He said, 'Men, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke through the mouth of David concerning Judas." Okay, we have to replace Judas. Okay, so verse 23, "And they proposed to Joseph and Matthias." Verse 24, "And they prayed and said, 'You, Lord, know of the hearts of all men. Show us which one.'" Verse 26, "And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was counted with the 11 apostles." Okay, that is verse chapter 1. Of course, we jump some of the details there. I think this is interesting and applicable. Sorry, let me have some water. Okay, the apostles have been with Jesus, right, for 3+ years. They had learned how to follow Jesus when he was with them. Then, of course, the Lord went to the cross. He was crucified. He was resurrected. And then he spent 40 days with them in resurrection. Right? It says training them, speaking about the things of the kingdom of God. Then Jesus were ascended physically from them. So they entered into a new phase. Right? There was a new situation that they had never experienced before. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So they had, this is why, in one way, I think it's applicable to us. Why? They were in a new, now it's a whole new ball game. They knew how to follow Jesus when he was with them humanly. When Jesus went to Galilee, you went to Galilee. When he said, "Let's go across to the other side," you got in the boat. Right? When he said, "Do this, remain here while I pray," you remain there while he prays. Right? There's a certain way to follow the Lord. The Lord was the leader. They were his disciples. They were students. They were the learners. And they followed the Lord. There was a certain way. Now, after his death and resurrection, there's a whole new situation. Right? Jesus. Jesus is not there with them physically, right? So he had been with them, he shared with them. Then you think it's clear from the text, they did not know exactly what to do. They had their concepts. So he talked, you know, he talked to them. Then their their question was, it's interesting, Lord, even after all that time, their question, we may say, you dummies. what is wrong with you? They said, Lord, are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? See, now we would think, where did you get that from? You've been sleeping? Right? But it's clear they did, right? They had their concepts and their history from where their background, they had a lot of stuff. Their feeling was, Israel, right? We're Jews, the Lord came to Israel, Lord, we want to know what you're doing with Israel. Of course, the Lord saying, no, you didn't get it, right? There's a new situation, but, right, don't blame them. Look, when Jesus was in the flesh, basically, he never got out of Israel, remember? So it's not, they're not so clueless. Right? Jesus spent his time basically in the land of Israel, almost had nothing to do with the Gentiles. So why would they think at that point that he had anything else in mind but Israel? But of course we know Jesus did. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Right? So they're not quite as clueless as we might imagine. But I think it shows us they had their concepts, their understanding, but the Lord wanted to lead them farther.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Right? To do what he had in mind was something much more than before. Right? So he's expanding their horizon. So the Lord's reply was, he says, not for you to know the times and the seasons, but you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So this is a time of transition, right? The Lord is trying to help them transition from their concept. Their concept is Israel, no. The Lord's concept is no. The ends of the earth. Their concept is where we are, no. The Lord's concept is this is going to go to the ends of the earth. Right? Their concept is the kingdom here. No, his concept is, no, it's a matter of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is transition, helping them make a transition. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that, brothers and sisters, we need to make a transition.
Amen.
Right? It may not be as radical, but certainly it is a transition.
Amen.
Right? I've been in the church life since 1972. My goodness. Right? Some of you have been around longer. Well, what happens? You're with a group of believers. Yes, the Lord is doing something. But you pick up, the longer you're in, you pick up a few decades of history.
Amen.
Right? Even you started out, you didn't know nothing. You didn't know anything. I say it properly. Right? But then you have experiences and right, habits and practices. This thing, right, develops. Right? See, I came into the church life when we said, we're not here for doctrines. We don't care for the doctrines which is killer said, hallelujah, we're free of spirit instead. Okay, we're not here for doctrines. Okay, brothers and sisters, 35 years later, I would say, my goodness, virtually no Christian group has more doctrines. We don't care for doctrines. I'm sorry. You have that. You have doctrines about everything. You have 9 kinds of forgiveness, 9 kinds of sanctification. You have 5 kinds of forgiveness. Most groups don't have that. They just have that. So, I'm sorry. Don't tell me you don't have doctrines. You have a lot. But so these. You know, they're like the barnacles that come on the ship. Right? On the ship comes through the seas. Of course, today we're not a seafaring nation. Right? But anyway, you know, the ship goes through, the barnacles accumulate on the ship, and, you know, well, okay, we picked up a lot of stuff. Just like, and the disciples, out of their experiences, they picked up, yes, they picked up good things. They had many experiences, but they also picked up other things, right? Some things were helpful, and some things were not helpful, right? And as the Lord brought them into a new sphere, a new realm, a new era, then they needed to make that transition. How are they going to do it? Well, sure, they need the Lord's help.
Amen.
And we do too.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Right? So the Lord was trying to help them. Amen.
Amen.
Right? So, okay, the Lord, they had the Lord's word. You know, let me just say this in passing. You know, this title is a little bit, who are we? Who are we? Is the theme. I think we might get sued for misleading advertising. Who are we? Let me answer that. In Acts, they did not ask, who are we? They didn't sit down and discuss, who are we? It was not a matter of self-identification. No, in Acts, the Lord told them, go!
Amen.
Go! Don't sit there and analyze, who are we?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So that might be a clue.
Change the name of the conference to go.
Right? Yeah. So actually, you know, I think it would be good. Reread Acts. See? They were not that clear, who are we? Right? They did not sit down and define themselves. Were this, were that, were the other. No. They're following the Lord.
Amen.
Right? So the way they identify themselves and each other, they didn't say, oh, we're in Jerusalem. Okay, we need to be the church. Let's be the church. Let's take the ground. That's not in Acts chapter 2. They didn't sit down and say, let's take the ground, let's register a name, we're going to be the church in Jerusalem. And let's establish a Lord's table. And have a ground-taking meeting. I'm sorry, they didn't do that. Right? Isn't that a little bit different than us? Right? What did they do? They're trying to follow the Lord.
Amen.
And in the beginning, they said, okay, who are we? We're disciples, we're this, we're that, we're the saints. You look at the way they describe themselves. Right? It says Peter, when Peter was put in prison, when he got released, he went to his own. Remember?
Yes.
His own what? And you look in Acts. We say his own people. People's in italics. He simply went to his own. His own what? See? He's not that clear. Yeah, his own folk, his own people, his own kind. Right? See, but it wasn't that... The point is, it wasn't that clear. Right? They were disciples, they were the saints, right? Even the outsiders. Saul said, I want to go to Damascus and arrest those who are of the way. The way. Right? And that comes up six or seven times in Acts. They're called the way, mostly by outsiders. Right? The Jews, the people, right? See, so... It's not that clear, you know, it's not that clear. Eventually, they did get clear, who are we? Right? Yes, eventually they're identified as the church here, the church there, right? But my point is, the way things unfolded was not sitting down analyzing who are we. The way is, right, we follow the Lord. We cooperate with the Lord. We touch the Lord. Eventually, we will be who we're supposed to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? And we will be that.
Hallelujah.
Right? Doesn't matter. You, right? You sit down and analyze and claim, we are this. Your claim does not make you that.
Amen.
Right? Necessarily. Right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The real question is, what are you? Right? Eventually, if you're really that, people will give you the name because that's what you are. Right? You won't have to claim we're this, we're that. You won't have to argue, yes, we are. No, you're not. Right? There'll be something there people will name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right? So, this is how things unfold. So, I feel personally that, you know, what should we do? This is a good principle to follow. Lord, we want to follow you today.
Amen.
We want to learn how to be believers, be your people, be whatever you want today.
Amen.
And this has never been done before. How to be the God's people or whatever we are in Goshen in 2008, in 2009, 2010. It has not been done before. Has it? It hasn't. Right? Because time goes forward. Right? So we're learning to follow the Lord.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Right? And it's not how to be believers here in the 21st century.
Amen.
See, we're not in the first century. Right? So yes, we can learn principles, but you can't simply say, okay, Acts has this, let me pick and choose a few things, put them together, and that's what we are. It doesn't work. It's not going to work like that.
Amen.
We tried that. No. We need to follow the Lord today.
Amen.
What is the Lord doing today?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord. Okay, so the Lord ascended. Then they went back into the city. They went to the upper room. Many people feel... Actually, it's interesting. It says, they went to the upper room where they were residing, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, etc. It lists the disciples. The upper room. Now, that most people feel that is possibly, even probably, the same upper room. The same upper room as they had the so-called Last Supper before Jesus was crucified. Okay, they went back to the upper room and they began to pray. Okay, why do I bring that in? I think it's interesting, number one. Number two, think back of the upper room before. The book of Acts was written by Luke. Luke also wrote the Gospel of Luke. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, how did they first get to the upper room? In the Gospel of Luke, it's interesting. It's more detailed than other Gospels. It says, the Lord told specifically Peter and John, go into the city. Here's how to find the room. Here's a clue. Okay. You need to find the room, the upper room. That's where I'm going to have the Passover, and that's where he's going to set up the Lord's table and share a lot, his final words. Now, how to find the upper room? The Lord said, okay, go into the city. Here's a clue. Look for who? Look for the man with a pitcher of water. There's a man. You will see a man with a pitcher of water. Follow him. Now, my guess is, probably right, that was not that common. Right? And if you go to Africa, some of us have, at least in, right? In Uganda, you drive along the road, who carries the water? The children? The women? Right? And that's probably the case there. What was unusual, there's a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, go to that house, ask the guy in charge, he'll show you the room. Okay? That's according to Luke chapter 22. Now, why do I mention that? You may say that's an interesting fact. What's the point? The point is this. Christians like to allegorize the Bible. And we did a lot of that in the past. Now, there was one in the 1930s. There's a brother, you may have heard his name. His name is Coates. C.A. Coates is a Brethren writer who some of us know. He was writing. He wrote a letter to a new believer. The new believer is asking him the question we have. How to follow the Lord today? How to meet with the what is the proper group of believers to meet with today? That was the question. Coates, C.A. Coates, wrote a letter in response. And he didn't know at the time, but eventually his letter would appear on the internet. So be careful what you write. Okay, so that letter's on the internet. With the title of the letter, it's like one page. The title letter says, "Follow the man with the pitcher of water." C.L. Coates gave this young brother advice. Here's what we should do today. Follow the Lord. Who to meet with. Eventually, his conclusion is, here's some advice. Follow the man with the pitcher of water. That's his advice. Now, you may say, you're talking in code. Yes, he was. Or you're talking in allegories. But if you know where Coates was and who C.A. Coates met with, you know the allegory. See? C.A. Coates met with the Exclusive Brethren in England in the 30s. Exclusive Brethren, I came from the Brethren background, Plymouth Brethren, so I know a little, and I came from England. So, I grew up with the Brethren, not that branch. The situation, they developed a teaching in the 20s, 30s that said what? God speaks through one man. In every age, God speaks through one man. He is today's Paul. He is the oracle of God. He's the man you should follow. See, they developed that teaching. Who was the man? At his time, there was a leader, actually American. His name was James Taylor. James Taylor was the leader among the Brethren. When Coates said, how do you follow, how to meet with the right group, how to follow the Lord, eventually his advice is, follow the man with the pitcher of water. What did that mean? Follow James Taylor. That's what it meant. See, so that may sound a little bit familiar to you, because I think history repeats itself. The teaching that God has one man on the earth and God only speaks through one man was not invented in the 80s, in the 1980s. That teaching has been recycled a few times and it came up in the 30s. See, here's one manifestation. So here's the teaching, how to follow the Lord. Find out where God is speaking and God only speaks through one man. That is the so-called teaching of the minister of the age. Okay, now, I would say this. Why do I bring this up? Because even you take the analogy, if you take that, which you may well not, to follow the man with the pitcher of water was before the Lord's resurrection. See? After the Lord is resurrected, there's no more man with the pitcher of water. Right? That man came on the scene once. And only once, right? And disappeared, right? So that is not a lesser principle you can apply in your Christian life. See, God may use different people. God, I'm sure in most of our lives, all of our lives, God uses people to help you. May help you get saved, help you love the Lord, help you consecrate, help you know God's will, help you in the Christian life. Yes, God uses people, but you and I do not become their disciple.
Amen.
No, in the New Testament, we are disciples of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't follow a man with a pitcher of water.
Amen.
Right? Because in Acts, there's no more man like that.
Amen.
And there's no more pitcher of water. That's not the way to do it. So brothers and sisters, we're in Acts.
Amen.
Right? We're after the Lord's resurrection, after the Lord's ascension. We're not back in the gospel. So that doesn't work. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we need to learn from Acts. How to follow the Lord. Then, number one, here's a good guide. Be together.
Amen.
Be together. Right? They were together and they prayed. It's good to pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right? That's a good way to follow the Lord. Okay, then what? Then what? That we have the Bible.
Amen.
And I like this. You know, we have half a chapter, the half of the chapter in chapter 1. I don't know if you ever thought about this. Why is this there? You know, there's half a chapter saying Peter, after they prayed for a while, Peter had a feeling. But there used to be 12 of us. Judas dropped out. Now we're 11. We need to make it up. We need 12. Now think about that. Really, how important was that? You think that was a big deal? I mean, is it, you know, is it really crucial? Did Peter think, you know, if we don't replace Judas, we only have 11. That means the New Jerusalem will only have 11 foundations. Not 12, and that's really serious. The New Jerusalem will be unstable. You think Peter, that was Peter's realization. So we need number 12. Otherwise, the New Jerusalem is in trouble. I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, you may have some feeling. Why Peter felt we need to replace Judas? There may be, you know, maybe among us we have some good ideas. But my point is this. Here's my feeling. I don't know why. This is good. I don't know why we needed 12. Right? It really doesn't matter that much. What is the good thing about it? Peter found something in the Bible that applied to them.
Amen.
See, that's good. He found, here's a verse. Whoa, there's something in the Bible.
Yeah.
I found a verse. Hey. And that verse applies to us. Look, there's a verse somewhere in the Psalm says, look, so and so, and his office, let another one take. And hey, you know, that applies to us. Look, we used to be 12, now we're 11. We need to do some things. Here's a verse we can apply and should apply to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? That is the good thing. See, that I would, brothers and sisters, I would suggest to you, that is a point. See, it's not, is this a crucial thing? You know, if they don't do this, will Pentecost be delayed? I don't think so. But what is the point? Number one, how to follow the Lord. Number one, pray. Pray.
Amen.
Right? We need the Lord. Lord, we don't know how to do it.
Amen.
We don't know how to be, you want to say, how to be the church. We don't know how to be your people. We don't know how to follow you in 2008, today, where I am. We don't.
Amen.
We used to think we did. We used to be very clear. But now somehow we're not quite as clear. Hallelujah. Maybe the Lord's rejoicing. You were too clear. You know, you had everything worked out. You had planned, you know. You had everything planned for the next 50 years. No. Then the Lord, things happen. Now, praise the Lord. We're not so clear. So what? We need the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we can pray. Number two, brothers and sisters, we need to come to the Bible.
Amen.
See, Peter, what's Peter's point? The Scripture has to be fulfilled.
Amen.
Scripture has to be fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, we need to come to the Word in a fresh way.
Amen.
In a new way.
Amen.
Without thinking, we do not have all the answers. And the Bible, everything has not been explained because the Bible is infinitely rich. It is God's Word.
Amen.
We haven't got to the bottom yet.
Amen.
Right? It hasn't been fully applied yet.
Amen.
Right? And the Spirit is living.
Amen.
The Spirit is here to open up and apply the Bible to you, to me, today.
Amen.
See? To help us today.
Amen.
So as we're going on in an individual life, if we're in the Bible, the Lord can use His Word to speak to you.
Amen.
See? Speak to you, speak to me. Okay, then, brothers and sisters, how should we respond? We should respond, though the Scripture needs to be fulfilled.
Amen.
Maybe the Lord speaks this word to me. Okay, then, right? Hallelujah. That is a real encouragement. You know, the Lord gives you a verse. It's not just in your Bible. Right? All the verses are in the Bible. But as we are in the Word, as we're before the Lord, when the Lord takes a word and applies it to you, and maybe it's a word you read 6 months ago, 6 years ago, 30 years ago. Hallelujah. But the Lord is living.
Amen.
Right? I had that happen a number of years ago. I was considering, Lord, what should I do? What's going on? The Lord gave me a verse.
Amen.
A definite verse. I didn't remember where it was. I didn't remember the context. But the Lord gave me a verse.
Amen.
Which I had not read in years. Because it was in the Old... I don't read the Old Testament that much. I read the New Testament more. But anyway, the Lord gave me a verse. That verse was for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, the Lord can use His Word and does use His Word to speak to us.
Amen.
And that, okay, how do we follow the Lord today? Amen.
Amen.
Not by following methods. Right? No, by we want to follow the Lord who today is the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? And that takes prayer.
Amen.
And that takes the Word. Amen. Nothing replaces the Bible.
Amen.
Nothing. Right? Because the Bible is the Lord's living Word.
Amen.
Right? Okay, then I know they chose two. Right? Think about this. They chose two. Did they do it right? Then they cast lots. Is that the right way? I mean, casting lots is like rolling the dice.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Do we roll the dice? Should I go to Goshen or not? Sixes I go. You flip a coin. Heads I go, tails I stay. I mean, it's a little bit weird. See? You may say, okay, they didn't do it right. It was not their way of carrying it out. See, it's not a matter of the way.
Amen.
What's more crucial is their desire to follow the Lord, and they wanted, if the Bible said so, they wanted to, and the Lord applied it to them, they wanted to do it. That's the point. See, the Bible says so. The Lord applies that word to us, or to me, today. Then I want to do it. See? Then, how to work it out, actually, you know, wasn't necessarily the best way, the proper way. You know, so, okay, the roll the dice, Matthias came up, so he got it. Okay, actually, the Lord honored that. You know, some people, including where I grew up, some people say, no. Maybe you've heard this. Some people say the disciples chose Matthias. But the Lord did not. The Lord chose Paul. Actually, that's not right. If you read carefully, we don't have the time. No, because they were looking for somebody who had been with Jesus all the time, from John the Baptist to the Ascension. Paul doesn't qualify. Right? So that doesn't work. Yes. They maybe use what you and I consider the wrong way. But the Lord honored them and honored their desire to follow Him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, we may not choose the right way.
Amen.
Don't be that worried.
Amen.
If you want to roll the dice, go ahead. But anyway, right? It's not a matter of the way. The crucial thing is we want to follow the Lord. If the Lord speaks that word to us, we want to apply it. Right? And Matthias was numbered with the 12. After that, it talks about the 12. That means the Lord actually recognized him.